This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Well, welcome. This is Judith Conrad, and I have two very special guests, Rocha Walsh, and her business is Images by Rocha, and Susan Detroit, and it's all about art. And the theme of the show is, what is your artistic inspiration? Where does it come from? How do you get the essence of what you do that in your passion? Where does it come from? I mean, we all have a time when we're so connected to source. We just, whatever happens, it's just right there. It's very present, and it shows up in so many different ways. Well, as you know, I go into that, what I call the zone, before I get ready to do my radio program. And the inspiration comes to me as I'm sitting and I'm cogitating. I'm in that place where information just flows. Sometimes I go to my tarot cards, because that's a collage. Each one has different symbols on it. When I see the symbols, it somehow just jump starts my creativity, and I start writing, and one thing leads to another. And sometimes I will write a whole page on just one card. And you can do that when you're looking at a beautiful painting. You can look at the painting, and symbols will jump out at you. If you are in that place where you're very present, you're looking, you're available to whatever information wants to come. In other words, you are in the now, in the now, in the now, and all senses are activated. Thinking of a rose, when it has just opened up, the essence of the smell will hyperactivate your own smell, so that when that rose, you walk on by it, you can still feel the essence of that rose in your nostrils. The same when you're visually looking at that rose. Now, when you think of a lemon, you're going to put a piece of lemon into your mouth. And what happens toward the back? Those senses get activated. Certain external stimuli will jumpstart you into that, what I call the zone. Other people call it inspiration. Other people call it creativity. You, in this place, right. And I don't know how to get back into that place when I wrote my first book. It was just everything flowed, and I was able to just all the words jumped onto the page. And to get back to that place is sometimes very difficult for folks. I usually recommend that they try automatic writing, because you have to slow down to write with a non-dominant hand. And that will open up that creative channel. So that's just one of my suggestions. I always like to give hints and suggestions of how you can lead a better life. Well, I can't wait to find out what my guests are going to say, but I've got a few more things to say here. So it is in that availability that the channel is open to the creativity and the inspiration. You're open to spirit. If you believe in being able to talk to your angels, to be able to talk to God, to be able to talk to that higher self within you, then that for me, that would be it. This is Divine Artistic Inspiration, which is our theme today. And from this place is where magic can happen. Creation happens. Manifestation happens. For those of you who would like to create a wonderful relationship, this is also a place where you can access, what does that person look like? What does that person, what kind of clothes do they wear? In other words, information comes to you from this place. It's operating on all burners. I can't say all four burners, because I know many people who have six burners. So you're operating on every one of them. Not one of them is not functioning. It's as if a force is engaged and it takes over. It takes over your whole being. in the center of an emotion. It's like you're in the center of some kind of a movement, and that movement is from within. It is like a tsunami. You cannot stop the tsunami. It has an energy. It just moves. When you get that inspiration, and I have many artist friends, and when they start working with clay, it's like, I 5 hours went by and I was supposed to make dinner. Well, they forgot all about it because the creativity was so right there. Or if someone's writing or painting or whatever your project is. That's me with my radio. One day, about 2 weeks ago, I didn't have a guest. So I said, Spirit says do it by yourself. So I kept saying, well, I could take a call or two if you'd like to call in. Well, somehow the lines were all busy. And so no one called. And I had the best time. I think you've heard me talk about that. I just talked to myself. And there was an energy that kept propelling me forward. Now, you've heard about in childbirth, if you don't have the mind-altering drugs, that there's a presence when the mother gets ready to give birth. There is some kind of strength, inner energy that takes over as the child gets ready to be birthed. And she, the mother, just takes on this glow. The other one where the essence takes over is you've heard of a mother lifting a car off her child. Well, the energy was so strong that from some unknown inner source, she was able to pick that car up and get that kid out of there. The energy that I'm talking about also exists in many vortex sites. Sedona is a good example. Mount Shasta. Well, there are many places here in Eugene, Springfield, that have that same essence. If you are by like the Mackenzie River, where the rapids, that's where there's energy there, the negative ions, in front of a waterfall. And there's another energy also in this zone when you're walking in a place where you feel malevolent energy, negative energy, a sense of danger, and your inner guidance says, get the heck out of this place. And that's that connection that has been awakened, and you know, and you trust it, you say, I'm getting out of here. So in other words, there was a vital need to get you out of there. And so all that could happen was spirit, your angels, your guardian angels, really amped up the energy to give you goosebumps. And I have them right now, although there's no danger. My guests look like they wouldn't hurt me. No, wait. Another but I guess you're getting the energy of what I'm talking about. When one goes on a vision quest, with or without external stimuli, there's a part of you that turns inward and listens to everything. You'll see a bumblebee. What does that mean? Okay, so I did that one time. And there was a bumblebee that kept coming around. And, of course, we staked out our place about 4 in the morning. Well, the sun wasn't shining then. At 4 in the afternoon, we were all sitting there looking for some kind of shade. We could not move. So it's the wise ones who found a tree, and we were there. So your internal sensors are very active. Another thing, boy, I got all this inspiration in the last hour before we got ready to go on the program. Self-remembering of another time, another lifetime maybe, when the gifts and talents of your artistic ability or your writing or your being able to speak, they came from another lifetime where they had been fully developed, and now you're remembering, very much like Mozart, as an extremely young child, able to sit down and play the piano and compose. That, at that early of an age, had to come from someplace. It's the real you, the essence that goes from lifetime to lifetime, where there's a remembrance of your true purpose, your life purpose. Many people say, oh, if I only knew my life purpose. Well, it's actually where you get the most juice, where you get the most energy, and you just get so excited when you get to get involved with that, like the 6 hours or 4 hours where you're involved in throwing clay and pottery. You just can't even think of stopping. And this zone is not always in the form that you expected. Sometimes we think, well, an example could be for me. I thought for sure when I got ready to move out of high school teaching where I taught foreign language, I'm surely going to find something where I'm using my foreign languages. Wrong. The form took on a completely different foreign language, which was spirituality. And using my intuitive capacity, which I then started training in. I didn't have that any idea that that was going to happen, but spirit did. Here's another example of the form is unexpected. This comes from the Middle East. It's a joke. The smuggler who is crossing the border, and of course the border patrol knew that this was a smuggler. And so he came across the border every week with donkeys laden with all kinds of goods. So sure enough, every time he came across, the custom officers would search all of the sacks. They would find nothing, nothing unusual that he would be smuggling. Guess what he was smuggling? The donkeys. And so that is completely different than what they would have suspected. All right. And this is the favorite part for all of you out there. So many of you email me and tell me, oh, I love this part because I get so much out of it. Four cards that I drew, and it's in and around artistic inspiration and being in that zone. If you would, and one of these is perfect for you in what's going on in your life. And without knowing what I'm going to say, I'm just going to turn and look at to my guests and see which one they are going to pick. Number one, number two, card number three, or card number four. And you can do the same thing. Because I know what they are, I'm going to have them pick the card for me because I know what the cards are. So, okay, we've got Susan is taking number two and Roka's picking number three. And who wants to tell Judith what her card number is? One, number one. Okay. That's fun. I like doing that part. All right. So number one card is the Knight of Swords. The picture depicts a body of water at the bottom and a knight on a horse and cruising across up in the sky and charging, very balanced and dedicated to moving forward. And it's about getting up above any mind chatter, any yammer, and to move from a higher state of being, of a higher state of mind. And that's where the inspiration will come from. So that's number one. That's mine. I like that. Card number two, which is what Susan picked, the Seven of Wands, Valor. That all of life's experiences, current and past early on in childhood or past lifetimes, may enter into this state of beingness, which means the valor that it takes to move into the artistic inspiration, into that zone. And this includes a lot of the life's experiences where we get whacked on this one, whacked on that one, and sometimes these experiences will influence the artistic outcome when Susan goes into that space, into that wonder, or you, I'm talking to you also, goes into that place. These experiences will influence whatever artistic form she has selected. Cool, huh? And card number three is the Hanged Man. The Hanged Man is upside down, and the Hanged Man is breaking out of the old mold. Whatever mold that you think of as creativity, it's not always painting. It is not always writing poetry. It is not whatever your creativity is. It is and is emerging into something completely new. The energy is coming in through the feet because the hanged man is upside down. And this has nothing to do with the crucifixion or anything like that, but you are crucifying the old grid that held, that sometimes this grid of what you shoulda, woulda, coulda holds us in such a place of non-productivity. Well, what are they going to think of this if I paint a nude? Oh my gosh. What if I, do a Van Gogh? What if I do a something more modernistic? And then you try to work from this place of pleasing other people. Ain't going to work. I can guarantee you that. Number four, and no one picked in this room, no one picked number four, but I think number four is for all of us. It is the Four of Swords, and that is truce. Spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. On all four levels, we're coming to truth that we all have a gift that no one else has. No one else has that talent that you do in the combination spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. We haven't had that same experience to know what it is. So to look at what is your artistic inspiration, based on which one you picked here, or anything that I've said, it's just like the man smuggling back and forth across the border, and the border patrol not suspecting that he was smuggling donkeys, not the other goods that was on the donkey. He was smuggling donkeys. To think outside of the box and let your creative juices flow, so that you are doing what really turns you on. The lights are on. You're cooking on all four burners, all burners, and every bit of your creativity is being activated. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Okay, who wants to go first? Looks like Roka. Okay, Roka. All right.
I found it interesting when you were talking about breathing and inspiration, and because I was thinking today about how spring, when I breathe that fresh air in spring,
yes,
it inspires me to go out with my camera and take pictures. I mean, I'm always inspired too, but there's more inspiration in that.
Right. So, yeah, and springtime is right here, and yeah, the flowers, don't they inspire you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I take a lot of pictures of flowers.
Well, let's hear a little bit more. So which one did you pick? You picked number three.
I picked number three.
And what does that...
The hanged man.
And what does that mean to you?
I think spring, again, is a time of rebirth, and which is very much the hanged man.
Yes.
And so, and my art is, it's transforming all the time and changing... and transforming through year to year, season to season. I just keep doing different things, and feel inspired by whatever changes I do. It inspires me to just dig further and move more into it.
So you're evolving every springtime, whenever.
Every day.
Yeah, that's right. And so being in the now, being very present in the essence of your art. Mm-hmm. So I images by Roka. I get that you're a photographer.
I am. I'm a photographer and a digital artist.
If you're just coming on, we've been having this wonderful conversation. Roka Walsh of in Images by Roka. She's talking about her photography. Now we're going to go to Susan DeTroy, and we're going to talk about her business, which is all about art, and which card she picked, and her artistic venue.
Well, taking off on the idea of the card.
Yes.
And that that my artistic creativity is influenced by everything that comes from my life.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I could take that another step and say that I think of myself as a creative person every day, and that that everything that I do, I see from that point of view. So when I'm working as an artist, or I'm working helping other artists advance themselves, or I'm working in any part of my business, or as an artist, I'm using what you're describing, the inspiration, the going to the zone, trusting my inner self to accomplish where I want to be going. Another piece that came to me when you were talking was about that I think inspiration and artistic creativity is about giving of yourself, giving time, and that it's something that, for me, doesn't happen quickly.
Okay.
And that oftentimes people are impatient about inspiration.
Right.
And that I've learned that it's about giving yourself and giving time.
Okay.
That's one thing that came to my mind. Another piece for me is, another set of pieces is that my inspiration are when I create, make artwork, or do something, comes from a multitude of places. It can come from people I meet. It can come from a movie I've seen. It can come from many places, and there have been specific incidences in my life that have propelled me down a road. And this happens, I think, often in life. Life-threatening experiences or traumatic experiences can be a propulsion, can propel one down a road. I've had that happen, and I've had really good things happen. So I think it's a mistake to think that it's one way or the other.
Okay. All right. So tell me the medium that you use in your artistic inspiration.
Well, true to being a Gemini, I work in a variety of media.
Oh, good.
Usually, they're two-dimensional. I have worked as a photographer for many years, where I used infrared photography and black and white, and did unusual photographs, which people could see on my website, of dogs and parts of dogs, kind of edgy and unusual. I have a process where I've worked for many years in what's called transfer processes, and a kind of collage, although collage is not the right word to use. It's a laying on of several layers and going back and forth, so there's a dimension to the piece.
Okay.
And I also have worked in a series that involves mythical animals that I made up, that I use brightly colored pens, Copic and Tombow pens, to make those animals.
What could you describe one of your mythical animals?
Walking fish.
Walking fish, okay. You're edgy. You definitely are edgy.
There are really walking fish.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They exist, but I didn't know they existed when I made up the walking fish.
Really? Mm-hmm. Another mythical animal.
Mm-hmm. Another mythical animal? Let me think. They're turtles, but they're turtles that have worlds inside of them.
Okay. Where can we see these wonderful mythical creatures on your website? What's the name of your website?
SusanDetroit.com.
And let's spell Susan Detroit.
SusanDetroit.com.
All right. And we will see all kinds of your artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And Roca, what is your website?
My website is Images by Roca. .com, or you can go to RocaWalsh.com, and there is a link there.
Okay, very good. RocaWalsh.com or ImagesByRoca.com. Now, when you put images on your website, how can that be protected? so that someone wouldn't download that and run with it? Is there any type of protection you can, I know we're going to bring in both of the artists.
Depending on the website you're using, the one I use prevents someone from copying, from dragging and copying the image.
Okay.
But I use additional protection of putting a watermark on my picture, which is just a signature, copyright signature, it very lightly placed over the image.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how.
I use the same sort of arrangement, mm-hmm. And I also put information on each page that says that the images are copyrighted.
Yes.
And are under penalty of law.
Yes, under penalty of law. And that doesn't mean anything to some people, but, you know, as we're evolving, we do have to protect ourselves. You know, authors have to, I guess there's a copyright that they get, or registering, intellectual property, and all of that. And when you're bringing forth this artistic venue into the world, you don't want someone to take it and run with it and claim it as theirs. And because that's where that inspiration, it's directed to you for this particular idea, this particular visual. What do you think?
I guess I don't worry about that too mm-hmm. much. It's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about.
For me, yeah, I agree. I don't spend a whole lot of time. My images are all over the web, but I also, they're smaller than if somebody tried to print them, they wouldn't really be great.
Right. So. Okay. I don't know why that popped into, you know, when I'm interviewing, it's always deep questioning, deep listening. I'm listening and then all of a sudden something pops into my mind that I want to know, that maybe someone out there is thinking, well, if I'm going to do this, what if someone rips off my idea, like inventions? People will, you know, especially some of the companies that are helping you get these inventions into the world. There, a couple of the companies I know have ripped off some of the ideas and run with them. Not nice, not nice. But we're in integrity here. We are here to, and also to answer your questions. If you have a question for either of the artists, Rocha Walsh or Susan Detroit, I would love to have you call in, or also myself. And of course, I guess my venue is when I'm doing the radio, it's whatever inspiration when I'm writing out the material. That's where it comes in. So if you'd like to call in, I'd love to have you do that. And I know many of you listen and you don't call in, but we would encourage that. All right. Do you have any questions for me? You have a question for me with the microphone, yes. Okay.
I think maybe a question or a conversation that I could also elaborate on, but when you were speaking earlier about the idea of inspiration or creativity coming from a place that's about the past,
mm-hmm.
or I think of it slightly differently,
okay.
but I guess the question is, if I were to ask you a question about it, could you elaborate more on, for yourself,
mm-hmm.
about what you think that is about?
Well, I'm a real proponent of past lifetimes.
Okay.
In fact, when I'm working with clients and they have an issue that comes up, and sometimes I'll just take a deep breath and say, just a second, let me drop into a deeper place. And somehow it just, I'm transported to another lifetime, and I can see them, feel them in a situation that shows what the issue is and where they were unfulfilled in certain areas of that issue. They were trying to go the wrong way. And they didn't acknowledge their talent, or they didn't acknowledge their beloved, and they just walked the opposite direction. And so now the issue is, how come I'm having an issue with my boyfriend. Well, you walked away from him in another lifetime, and he remembers it. I mean, these are different things that just pop in, and I thought everyone did those. Then I discovered, no. So that's where my creativity comes from, especially around the past. Or sometimes I will experience their birth and how difficult it was, and that's impacted in the issue of what's going on with their life right now. So my artistic is not so much on the physical level, and it's what's sometimes difficult to explain. What is it that you do, Judith? And that's part of that creativity of bringing information.
May I comment?
Oh, please, please.
I believe.
Very good.
I'm going to say something I believe. I believe that people have DNA, like genetic information, that is coded from the past.
Mm-hmm.
And that information can be accessed in ways, in this, possibly by the same ways we're talking about.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a belief system of mine from the work I have done with these mythic animals, mm-hmm. because when they started coming, it didn't make any sense. They looked like something from somebody from another culture, and I just accepted it. And then I did some research about my culture, even though it's European, and come to find that there were cultures that had similar drawings from the past. So I began to believe, and I was also doing some shamanic journeying at the same time that this was happening, and I had some life-threatening illness. And so I developed that belief about that work. I don't know that I think that about my other work, but I think that about that particular series.
Exciting. So. I find that very exciting. Yes, we have the memory. And when we are born, the DNA that we're going to have blonde hair, blue eyes, that's in the DNA. My other question was just popped in. Well, how about another lifetime where I didn't have blonde hair, blue eyes? What about the DNA there? But I think there's a general thing that comes through. Okay, Roca, you can change the topic.
Well, I was going to say I do believe that we are. Body somewhere, whether it's DNA or muscle or whatever, carries our history mm-hmm. on some level. And I've just through being at the hands of a touch therapist,
yes,
who was able to just at the mere touch almost tell me my whole history. And so I've experienced that on that end of it. And so I agree. There's something to it for sure.
Yeah. And it's not something you can put your finger on always. It's difficult to explain it to folks why that lady touching your body would be able to tell you everything about you. It's exciting. Some people would say it's scary. No, it's exciting. Okay, any other topic you want to bring up and throw out at me, and we'll just get in this conversation. Ah, Susan has some good
ones. I have lots of topics. Well, another way that I access my inner self is that I'm a very kinetic person.
Okay.
And I am a dancer.
Okay.
And I find that, and I was thinking about this when you were talking about inspiration and how does one get into that inspirational zone that you referred to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a multitude of ways. One of them for me is to be in a kinetic connection,
mm-hmm.
to be dancing so that my mind stops thinking and is concentrating or giving attention to what my body's doing. And the other thing that I thought of actually today is because I'm a highly mental person. I can be very mental and task oriented. I make myself stop and go lie down because the more sometimes I try to think about something, the less efficient the less information comes forth.
Right.
And so it's about interrupting the, whatever, that conscious mind,
mm-hmm.
taking a walk sometimes. And today I just went and laid down on the bed and an idea came to me, not necessarily about doing art, but something I was trying to think too mm-hmm. much about. And I actually just thought, I'm just going to take a nap. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to take a little break before I go on to something else. I feel tired. And I didn't do it because I was trying to get information. And I was just drifting around a little bit. And it just popped in my mind. So I think that you may use the same technique. I think some people use gardening.
Mm-hmm.
Some people take a walk. Some people watch a movie. Some people just lay down and close their eyes. Some people meditate. So the avenues are multiple to get into that space, I think.
One of the things that my teacher, Dr. Jean Houston, referred to is some of the tribes in Africa, when there's a conflict resolution, they dance. They dance it. And so the one side will dance and this is, you know, to get that energy out so it's not stuck in the body. And then the other side will dance. And then toward the end, then they will all dance together as a resolution of that. It was just such an interesting process. Roca.
Yes.
In the moment.
I used to be, I used to dance a lot, and I can't anymore because my back is kind of messed up. But I understand that the whole process of movement and just really, mm-hmm. it just gets you in touch. It kind of connects your brain and your body because oftentimes we're running around, you're disconnected.
Right.
And it inspires. Just even going for a walk for me now is, you know, it's inspiring.
Yeah, and there's something about taking a walk, especially in a serene setting. It just, the body is moving and the mind is kind of disengaged. And so that's when that inspiration can come in. So I hope all of you are enjoying this, our comments, and maybe you get some inspiration about how you can do. And it doesn't have to be, like I said, writing or pottery or photography. Everyone has a creative venue, and whatever your creative venue is, you know, it's not the same as somebody else's. Susan.
I thought of this because when I was thinking about coming here originally, I was thinking about the word inspire and inspiration. So I used a dictionary source and looked it up, and one of the connection about walking or going outside or dancing is that you are inspiring, meaning that you are taking in air.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the definitions of inspire is to breathe in.
Uh-huh.
And to inspire. So the actual physical act of doing something that causes you to breathe more deeply, and mm-hmm. that's why I think meditation can work for some mm-hmm. people. When you change your breath pattern, then it changes your brain pattern.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Okay.
And it changes how you focus. And I think that is partly where the word inspiration, that's the dictionary, the word, because I'm a word person, I okay. look up a word.
Gemini,
we love words. So I yep. wanted to remind people about that word.
Okay. And also, so to breathe in, and then when you're speaking, is to breathe out. And just while you were describing that, the engineer said she got very quiet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, look at that, the difference of, you know, having the microphone, which amplifies that which is within from your breathing, and it's just coming up through the throat and out. And so it's being inspired from within, and then it comes out, and the microphone amplifies it.
Right.
Yeah, you're much louder now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Very good, Susan.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I don't want to go too long before I have you put out all of your information so that anyone can contact you. And why would you want them to contact you? Roca. photographer extraordinaire. Images by Roca.
Yeah, on my website is my gallery. And you can look at each image and my schedule of where my shows are, and email me if you have any questions, what inspires me, you know, further, or if you want to see an upcoming show or purchase anything.
I was just going to ask, are they for sale?
Oh, yes.
They
oh, yes.
are for sale. Yeah. And do you frame them or do you let them do their own framing?
Either way.
Either way,
they can buy a print or a matted print or a framed print or cards.
Giclée at all?
But they're archival.
Okay, so. Very good. Yeah. All right, so let's get the website out again and a phone number if they would like to call you.
It's imagesbyroca.com or rocawalsh.com, and it's 541-232-5544.
One more time.
541-232-5544.
Thank you. All right, so I want you all to go on her website and give her a call and let her know how well she did here. All right, Susan.
Hi. You can see my work and some of what I do on my website, which is susandetroit.com. Not too hard to find.
No, not at all.
And people might want to contact me because they're interested in my work. I actually do talk and lecture about the work I do. I'm going to be talking in Corvallis in April. And also people, I work as a art project manager. So I help people. I install shows. I help businesses find art and create rotating exhibits. I help residential people decide what art they want to buy or hang. And I also coach and mentor artists.
Wow, I like that. And how about you, Roca? Do you also mentor art photography?
Right now I'm working with the NAACP ACTSO competition, which is high school students. They compete in everything from science to math to art to performing. And so I'm a photography mentor for that each year. So it's a wonderful organization.
I would like to see more people mentoring the young folks because mm-hmm. it's so important. Now, I see that you're going to be at a gallery. Are both of you correct?
No, that is the Red Show up at David Joyce Gallery at LCC. It runs through March 26th, and the reception is March 1st from 4:30 to 6.
Very good. And that's at Lane Community College, is that correct? That is at the David Joyce Gallery. It's an artist reception, March 1st, called Winter Red, the Color of Warm. And that will be Thursday, March 1st, 4:30 to 6 p.m. Center for Meeting and Learning, Building 19, second floor. All right, go ahead, Susan.
And my connection is that I'm the artist and resident consultant for those shows.
Really?
So that's why... It works for both of us. I install the shows. I help. I'm on the jurying committee. I consult with the project manager for Center for Meeting and Learning, and I'm connected to Casey Joyce because David Joyce is the person who the gallery is named for. It's mm-hmm. in his memory. And so I pick pieces of his work that are also hung there, and I work for that gallery. Yes.
Wonderful. Oh, I have famous people here in the room. Wonderful. You see, we meet people at greeters. We meet them at networking, like last night at Extravaganza. Until you really get into conversation with someone, you don't know where their inspiration is coming from and what they're doing for the world. And that's very impressive. I'm very impressed with both of you. So very, very nice. Yeah, so just let me do a couple announcements here. We'll come back to you. I'm going to be doing a collage class. It's called a vision board class. And talk about being inspirational. You know, a lot of times people will cut out pictures and they'll save them and what they want to create. And then they'll put a couple on. Then a couple days later, they'll put more on. Well, my class is you bring your magazines in. We're going to rip pages out and you're going to look at the front, back, and then you're going to put them down. Then you're going to take the magazines away. This is Sunday from 1 to 4. And the next part is you bring your scissors in, you cut out the pictures, you cut out the words, two different piles. That's what the second phase. Number three phase is you're given some art paper, and then you start pasting directly onto the paper. After that, then you sit and write and journal, which really will take your, by that time you are so in the zone, you are so, you know, far inward that words just flow onto the paper. I had one person who brought a tape recorder and they just stepped to the side and recorded it, which was very nice. And then after that, then you present it to the group and say, this is what I see on my collage, on my vision board. In other words, it's coming from a different place. The mind gets short-circuited here. And then after you present your collage, then the rest of the group starts throwing in what they see on it. And then at that point, then I jump in, and with my intuition, I will see things that maybe the other ones don't see, but we all see something in it. And then after that, then I ask that they date it, and then take it and get it laminated, because pictures start to deteriorate and fall off. That will be on Sunday from 1 to 4. I'm excited about that. If you'd like to know anything about your past lifetimes, you'd like to know about your dream work, you'd like to know what is your essence and your life purpose, that is one of the things I dearly love to do. That's what, when I had said, oh, I've got inspirational artists coming in, that got me all excited. Okay, so we have a couple minutes left. What would you like to leave our audience with? First with Susan.
May I leave my phone number? I forgot to do that.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Susan.
I just realized I get started. Okay. If somebody wishes to call me, they can call me at 541-345-2514. I would love to hear from people that have heard what I have to say and have a conversation with them.
Telephone number again.
541-345-2514, and they can reach me by email at susan@susandetroit.com.
You know, when you start using that telephone number, you are so strong. Now, when you listen to the archives on judithconradradio.com or bbsradio.com, mm-hmm. and you listen to this, you're going to hear your voice, how it fluctuates. And when you are inspired, your voice comes through very strong.
All righty
then. Okay, Roca.
My email address is roca@rocawalsh.com. And I just want to say thank you, Judith. This has been fun.
It has.
And yeah, thank you so much. It's been inspiring.
Yeah, very good. It's been inspiring, yes.
Inspiring.
Yes. Yes, very good. Yeah, we still have a couple more minutes left. So, well, I just want to say that, you know, the people that I'm bringing on are primarily from the Eugene Springfield area. However, I am going to be bringing on one of the coaching clients that I had, who lives in Tonga. He had a business called Attention to Details. Excellent. Successful. He knew there was something else. Next thing I know, he's selling his business, got married, then sold his business. Bought a sailboat, and he and his wife sailed in the South Pacific for 3 years. They came to an island they loved. They opened a restaurant and a tour company for diving. The next thing I know, he sold that, and now he has an island of his own, they both of them, on sustainable living. Now, you talk about artistic. And he is just so excited, and I can't wait to get him on Skype. Of course, with Skype, we can have this conversation. So that's my creativity. I get to bring in people that are inspiring, and I never know when Spirit says, sometime at the last minute, oh, I got to do it by myself, or I will call someone and say, I just got that you're supposed to be on the radio with me. And if they are available, we just take off. And sometimes we don't have a conversation. We don't have a theme. It will develop, won't it? All right. So we're complete. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.
You have been listening to the Good News Radio Program with Judith Conrad. To email Judith Conrad, go to judith@judithconradradio.com.